If you would, join me in 2 Corinthians. The words of Brian Sipes, "I'll not keep you long." An hour later, he will not keep you long. 2 Corinthians, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We've kind of been using this these passages, I guess you could say, for the last few weeks. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writing here in verse 1 where he says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." And so the key verse there that I'm going to be addressing is verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." I want to express to you, though, in the preceding verses there in chapter 5, Paul is talking about this physical body dying. That's in reference to the tabernacle, the earthly tabernacle, physical body dissolving. So it's dying. And what he's telling them, if that happens, then we will not be naked, found naked. In other words, the body consists of a body, a soul, and a spirit. The body is temporal. The soul and spirit are eternal. So if the body goes, you have the soul and spirit. And what he's saying, if the body is off, if you go be with the Lord, there's a body in the heavens not made with hands that you will go into. And so we have a body. Whether we go before the rapture or when the rapture happens and we're alive and remain, Paul says that these vile bodies will be caught up and fashioned like unto his glorious body. Regardless of whether those saints that we have had funerals for, they're already gone, they have a glorified body that they're in right now. We saw them laying in wait. We saw the body in the casket. That went back to the dust. But we that are alive when the Lord returns to get us, we're not going to be dead. We're going to be alive. So He is going to catch us up, and these vile bodies He's going to change. And we'll all have the same type heavenly body forevermore with the Lord. And that's what we're looking for. Be nice to say that I'd like that to happen before this message ends, but nonetheless, we wait for that day and look for it. Then he comes into verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." With that said, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Hebrews 11 is known as the faith chapter. It goes through a lot of the patriarchs, the prophets, the men of God. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 1, and, you know, I'm kind of debating on reading a whole chapter. It's 40 verses. I don't think anybody, you may fall asleep, but I don't think you're going to be discouraged if I read it all. I just need my pipes to get through this thing. So, here we go. Verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And by the way, Dan Groves from Wisconsin, most of you do not know him. He makes the Chattanooga conference. I am really trying to get him and his wife, Jean, to our conference. And he said they probably will be here. He did his message. If you have access, well, you do have access to go to Steve's site, understandingyourbible.com, and the messages are there. You can go there and listen to his message. He presented the best message I ever heard on what is faith. He is very good. He is a good preacher, and I'm looking forward to him being here. So anyhow, he used 11:1 as part of his whole message there. "For by it," in verse 2, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being yet dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob, and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptian essayed to do, were drowned. By him the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson, of Japheth, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So this chapter of faith includes a lot of people we know about and we have read about in the Scriptures. It's impressive. I think I'm always impressed with the storyline of Moses. And matter of fact, Moses is mentioned there, Moses being one of the greatest prophets ever. Remember, the fundamental of Hebrews 11 is what? Faith. For we walk by faith. And it addresses Moses. If you look down there in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When you consider the fact that Egypt at that time was a world power, had great riches. I mean, we look at Egypt today in the state it is today. It's a country in chaos. It's upside down. There's a lot of violence there. They've destroyed a lot of their infrastructure. Well, that wasn't the Egypt of Moses' day. They were a powerful, wealthy country and run by the king, the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's daughter got a hold of Moses. And Moses, as he grew up, refused to step into the role of being in the royal family. And when you think about that, and the untold riches that sat there in front of the eyes of Moses, think about the faith that it took, that he chose rather to suffer the afflictions with his people than the riches of Egypt and sin for a season. I mean, come on, folks. If I had $1,000 cash and I threw it right here and said the first one that gets to this money, you can have it, would probably have to get EMS here because somebody's going to get hurt. Now, that's a small token compared to what... And by the way, I don't have $1,000 cash, so that ends it. Very hypothetical. But that just gives you some idea of what Moses had the opportunity to look at. What was right there for his taking. But by faith, he knew that God had a promise for his people. For he promised it to Abraham. So he knew he had the land that flowed with milk and honey. And all the blessings and promises of God Almighty. And so by faith, he forsook the riches of Egypt and went with the sufferings there. And I think about the verse, turn to Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans chapter 8. You know, it would be good study. Those of you that really want to get into your Bible and do a comprehensive study, don't turn there right now, but go to Hebrews 11. And when it covers an individual in there and speaks of their faith, go back to the reference point in whatever book it's going to and read about that individual. There was a number of them listed there. It would make for a good read and a good study. In Romans 8, Paul says in verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now, folks, this is a promise. This is a promise that's right now laid out on the table for everybody in here. This holds true, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But how do we look at those things? How do we look at this world? You see, Moses is looking there at Egypt. He sees all the riches. He sees all the power. He sees the authority that he would have. He sees the power he would gain. Then he looked at affliction and suffering with his people. But beyond that was the promises that God had made unto him. He had that opportunity. He saw both sides there. And in our lives too, we're presented with both sides. We're presented with things on one side that are worldly and after this flesh, and it all is bright, it's shiny, it smells good. Then you look on the other side, and there's the Lord and His promises. And I can tell you something, folks. The Christian walk is not the easiest walk you'll ever have. It comes with a challenge. Because there is someone called the devil who is going to always challenge you. And so you know on the other side of the spectrum, with all the shiny bright things of the world, there's also the walk with the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And so we see these things, but we got an adversary. We got someone who's going to present problems to us. And that is our Christian life, isn't it? We always have these problems. So as we go through life, choosing to walk by faith, not by sight, there's going to be problems. Anybody here face any problems? I don't think anybody is beyond the problems of life. So what do you do with the verse? Do you incorporate that verse into your mindset, into your attitude, day by day, knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His... Do you believe that God, at the end of your life and to the kingdom come when we're out of this world, has worked everything together? Because that's what He's done. It's already done. God's not up there scratching His head on how He's going to figure this out. You don't throw any roadblock in front of Him that He can't figure this out. Folks, He's in our future. He's in... We're Sunday. He's already in Monday. He's out there. He's the forerunner. What you have to do now, it's incumbent upon us. Oh, it's great to read about Moses. I love reading about Moses and his faith. But what about us? You're now Moses. Okay, you're in his shoes. You know, the whole walk in my shoes bit. You're in his shoes, or sandals, whatever they wore. You're in them. So how's your faith going? When things get bad, when things go difficult, do you lose control of your whole being? Do you react after the flesh? Because I got to tell you, folks, when things go rough, the natural man acts in correspondence to that. We get angry. We get vengeful. You know, I was thinking about this morning. I was kind of running through my mind on what to preach. I can't tell you how many people have had something done wrong to them, where they feel offended, and their knee-jerk reaction, because this is the flesh, their reaction is, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to make you pay. And I've heard them say, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I'm going to make you pay. Right? Well, that's beautiful. Put it on your bumper sticker so everybody can go, just promise me one thing. Finish the verse. Finish the verse. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I will repay, saith the Lord. Let the Lord work it out. You get done wrong, let the Lord work it out. He don't work based upon our temperament. Matter of fact, He works in spite of our temperament. You understand what I'm saying? Then go by the Word of God. That's all you got. That's what faith actually is. Do I know for a fact that God makes all things work together for good? Do I know that? Yes, I do. Have I seen it? No. Neither have I seen Jesus Christ. I didn't see the nails in His hands and His feet. I didn't see the crown of thorns. I didn't see Him hang on the cross naked. I didn't see Him die and a spear get jabbed into His side, nor be buried or raised again. But I have evidence of it. A reporter brought me the story, a reporter that I can trust, called God Almighty, wrote it down, and I believe it. That's it. And you know what? If I don't believe it, it don't change the truth. People say, God said it, I believe it, that sells it. No, God said it. Whether you believe it or not, it's a done deal. He knows what he's talking about in Romans 8:28. Do you think the Apostle Paul, when he was with Silas in Philippi, and they dragged him through the streets after beating them and threw him into the inner cell and told the guards, "You let them out, you die"? You think they were in there for like a weekend till the judge could see them and put them on probation? What do you think they were locking them up for? To die. And so what do? Silas turned to Paul and said, "If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be in this mess. You got me in this mess, Paul. Oh, the man of God, you called me to go with you. And look where we are, Paul. We're bleeding on the floor. There are rats running around. Ain't no bathroom facilities. This place stinks. It's dark. And besides that, I got lower back pain." I mean, isn't that what everybody suffers from? "Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it." What did they do? "Let's sing. Let's sing." So they sing. Who would have thunk that jail sat right on a fault line? God took the plates and went, "Here we go. Watch this. Watch this. Angels, watch this." And the thing, boom, crashed. That guard was frightened to death, because if they got out, he dies. So he grabs a lamp, he rushes in there, and Paul says, "It's okay, we're still here." Fell at their feet and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" If we, and I include myself, I didn't say you, if we were in that place, that position, we would gripe and complain, and we'd be like, "I want Morris Bart right now. We want our attorney. I'm getting out of this. I got a good one." We complained because air conditioning wasn't good enough. If you read the paper about Angola. Food isn't tasty. I don't eat this kind of stuff. Paul knew that no matter the circumstances, everything will be worked out by God for good. Do you realize the experience that they went through was more for us than them? Why? To build your faith on their experiences so that we can have a stronger faith in this life and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? These people went the course and got written down in a book. You know what? I thank God I'm not written in this book, because the people that got written in this book, pardon my vernacular, but they went through hell on earth. Did you read the sufferings? They were stoned. Did you read where it said they were sawn asunder? Do you know what they did to those men? There are books, and I don't put all my confidence on history, because it can be slanted, that take these men, have a hollow log, slot them in that log, and take that two-handed sword, saw them in half. That's being sawn asunder for their faith. I thank God that I wasn't written in this book, but by faith in Christ, I know by the book, all of us that have trusted are written in another book called the Book of Life. Is your name in it? It gets put in there by your trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the book that I want to be in. That's the book I am in. Paul talked about working, all things work together. I just randomly checked the word "together." It just struck me. Not that this is going to alter anything. It won't mean that the saints are going to win this afternoon or anything like that. But Paul wrote the word "together" in his writings 38 times. That doesn't sound like a lot, but "together" is a unique word. It's not like a conjunction word like "and." I mean, "and" should appear a lot. Me, and, if, by, as. Those words should be sprinkled throughout, and they are. "Together" is different. And everything about God in this dispensation has to do with togetherness. He makes all things work together. Christ, who died for our sins, was buried. We died with Him. We were buried, and we were raised up together with Him and made to sit together with Him It's all about together. That's a very, very, very key word in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Together, together, together. So we have this glory facing us. Paul talked about afflictions. Look in 2 Corinthians 4. In 2 Corinthians 4, look what he writes here. Folks, we're not new. We're not the first generation to incur afflictions, problems, troubles. They've always been there. Think about Adam and Eve. First two kids, the elder slew the younger. Can you imagine the chaotic family situation? In 2 Corinthians, I don't think I gave you chapter, it's 4, chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 17. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For our light affliction," and I think about Paul. I gave you the one example of Paul being in that prison at Philippi. But he also lists a whole list of things of the sufferings he went through. How he received 40 stripes, save one, 3 times. That's a lot of stripes to be bared on your back. How he was stoned and taken up dead. Paul, if he stood before you today, would not be anybody that you would really, really want to look at. I mean, he just wouldn't. Disfigurement. Bruised, busted cranium. Scars. Deep, bedded scars. But boy, did it have an effect with the words he spoke. And he said, "Our light affliction." And I'm thinking, wow, what would be a heavy affliction? If that is light, what would be heavy? And all it takes is a little reading, as in Isaiah. Isaiah talks about Christ coming into this world. An innocent man. He took the stripes too. He took the beatings too. He took it to a point where his skin, the tissues, the muscles were peeled off of his body. He took it to a point of the crown of thorns being placed upon his head and then the soldiers beating it with a rod and driving it down into his skull, into his face. Being spit in the face and cursed and having a blunt covering put over your head. And the Roman soldiers coming by one and punching you in the face and saying, "Prophesy, son of man, who hit you?" And then being placed on the cross after having your clothes stripped off of you and having the nails driven into your hands and into your feet and then raising the cross up and dropping it down into the hole. And the Bible says in all of this, he was like a lamb led to the slaughter, for he openeth not his mouth. We wake up with a hangnail and we're cussing and we're aggravated and we're screaming about everything, aren't we? Paul talked about light afflictions. You want heavy afflictions? Look at what your Savior went through for you. Why would he do it? Because he wrote Romans 8:28. He wrote Romans 8:28. He knew that whatever he was going through, that at the end of it all, God would make all things work together for good. He knew God had a purpose, that he purposed in his Son unto our eternal glory. He knew that. So he went to the cross and bare all the afflictions in our behalf because he knew at the end of it all, God the Father would work a work that's all good. All good. And it worked out that way. Amazing. Amazing. God's never made a mistake, so why should we question Him? But we do all the time, don't we? I always have a little something to say. After this past week, fairly emotional. It was a challenge, let's put it like that, on both a mental and emotional trip. And I was thinking about, from that, there's kind of a fitting conclusion that applies to everyone's life. It's very simple. It's not per se scripture, but it applies. And that is, always do the right thing. Always do the right thing, even if it goes against the grain of your thought. If it's right, put it within the scope of your vision and stay focused that doing this is the right thing. Forget the peripheral attitude and character you may have that wants to turn you from doing the right thing. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, you know, it's interesting in Proverbs 25. The writer of Proverbs, probably Solomon, wrote that a false witness is as a maul, an arrow, and a spear to a man. Do the right thing. What he's saying there, if you go about lying, you're inflicting pain upon people that you shouldn't inflict pain upon. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, as evidenced by me. I'm your poster child. Not that I exercise, but there's little profit that can be seen in me. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Now watch. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Doing the right thing. Walking by faith. Realizing that God will make all things work together for good. Will be profitable to you in this life. And that which is to come. You've got an eternal promise there. Walk by faith. You did so in trusting Christ. There may be someone in here that's never trusted Christ. Do so today. He walked by faith for you. So it's simple to you to trust in what He did right here, right now, so you can be guaranteed the eternal life that only comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Trust in Him now. And we're going to close in prayer. And if you haven't trusted in Him, do so in our prayer. Let's stand and we'll close. Lord, we thank You for loving us by giving Your Son. As we go before You in prayer, we go before You as either saved or lost. And those of us that are saved, thank You for providing the work that we could not do. That Christ did it all for us. If someone in here is lost, we pray at this time that within their heart, they will tell You that I put my trust in Your Son, that He died for my sins, was buried and raised again, knowing that my sins are now forgiven. It's that simple and it is that easy, where no one should walk out of this church building without being saved. So in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and all He's done for us, we give You thanks and praise, and we say, amen and amen. Thank you all.